Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Now let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy presence tonight, knowing that you are here, Father, and realizing that when the high priest entered into the holiest of holies, into your presence, Father, that they had to put a rope around his waist because one misstep and they would not hear those bells sounding anymore. They would have to drag him out as a dead man. Help us, Father, to not walk with hobnail shoes where angels fear to trod, but rather to walk humbly and reverently before you, O Lord, our God. And so, Father, we come reverently and humbly tonight into thy presence through thy word, which is the avenue in which you have called us to walk. For you said if we walk in the light, as you are in that light, we shall have fellowship one with another, and the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. Cleanse us, Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Be with us, and may our hearts be attentive to thy word. For we ask it humbly in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might come forth in his image. Amen. You may be seated. This evening we'll continue our study on the attitude of Christ, and this will be number two in our mini-series. Actually, I believe this will be number two. And this evening I want to focus our attention on point number three out of 5 points concerning the attitude of Christ. We began last Sunday examining points number one and two, where Brother Branham said the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. Then we looked into the definition of what an attitude really is, and we found that an attitude is not a mental thing, but rather the body's response to what is taking place in our soul. From awakening Jesus, Brother Branham said, that's true. See, the mental attitude you take towards it will bring. Now, the mind won't do it. But if you give that attitude towards something that's got life in it, then that life comes down and does it. Not your mental attitude. That only brings you into the presence of him. That's what you do, your mind. The five senses is all right as long as they don't deny God. But when they go to denying God, then you leave them alone. God controls them. Now, from Webster's World Dictionary, it defines attitude as aptness or inclination. And further states that we found that both of these words refer to the direction in which a person is leaning. The word inclination comes from the root word to incline. And the word aptness comes from the root word apt, in which we say that person is apt to do this or that. The reason we say this is because the word apt means having a natural tendency. Therefore, to incline or aptness refers to the natural inclination of a person. Thus, the attitude is the expression of that natural inclination. Now, when we talk about the word incline, which is the root of inclination, if I'm standing here at an angle like this, I'm inclined this way. So the way the tree leaneth, that's the way it's going to fall. And the way that you are inclined, that's what's going to be expressed, you see. So if your actions and your actions are actually an outward expression, they are the attitude of what's really going on inside. Now, Webster also defined attitude as the position or posture assumed by the body in connection with an action, with a feeling or a mood, etc. And also a manner of acting, feeling, or thinking that shows one's disposition or opinion. Therefore, every definition that we've read of the word attitude has to do with displaying outwardly what is taking place inwardly, thus the seed that is in the mind becoming flesh, or the word becoming flesh. Now, we brought to your attention in our first sermon in this miniseries that there are 5 points that we wish to examine concerning aptitude or attitude, especially the attitude of a Christian concerning the Word of God. Number one, we examined what an attitude is and what the right mental attitude is. We found that there is only one right attitude, and that is the attitude that, or what God thinks about it, and his actions towards the object of the attitude. We found that Jesus Christ came to earth to display to the world God's attitude towards the world, towards the sinner, and the seed of God. Then we examined the second point, that we should understand concerning our attitude, and especially our attitude towards God's Word. And point number two, we found that the right mental attitude will produce what it meant to produce. We examined the Scripture and took a handful of people in the Scriptures and examined their reactions to the Word of God. And their reaction to the promises of God was their attitude towards God and His Word, for He is the Word. And we showed by many infallible scriptural proofs that the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. And let's just face it, if God is not a respecter of persons, then what God did for one person, He's got to do for the next person that comes along with the same attitude. From I am the resurrection and the life, Brother Bram said, it's your attitude towards it. Your attitude towards God's divine gift will get you just what you ask for. Do you understand it? Oh, how I'd like to stop right there, Brother Bose, and punch that for about a half hour, but I can't do it. It's your attitude. God can send a gift, and no matter what you, it depends on what attitude you take towards it. Look at them who smote His face and spit on Him and everything. There was no virtue there. But a woman that believed the word, touched the hem of His garment, was healed. Is that right? All right, it depends on what you think about it. God sends it. It's your attitude towards any divine gift that will determine what you get out of it. If you come to church and just say, well, here we go again, another 45-minute lecture, that's all you're going to get out of it. But if you're coming saying, God, I've been struggling with this, that, or the other, and I know, God, You have an answer for me, you're going to get your answer. We examined Hebrews 11, and we read of many examples of men and women who displayed the right mental attitude towards God's Word, and we saw how they received the things that God had promised them. And that brings us to point number three tonight. Number three, we must know why we must have the right mental attitude. Now, there are several reasons why we must display the right attitude towards God's Word. Number one, our attitude will produce a result. Positively or negatively, your attitude will produce a result, and it depends on the attitude we display. Number two, our attitude does not create an atmosphere, but rather it expresses the atmosphere in which we live. Now think about this. Our attitude does not create an atmosphere, but rather it expresses the atmosphere which we are carrying about, which we are living in. Number three, it is the expression of the nature of your soul. Is there turbulence down inside? There's going to be turbulence outside. Is there peace and rest in our Lord? Inside, there's going to be peace and rest outside. Brother Branham told a woman who came to him one time, she said, Brother Branham, my husband just gives me trouble all the time about coming to church and about the things of God. And Brother Branham said, well, that's good. And she said, why is that good? He said, because if there was no response on his part, then there'd be no hope for him. But the fact that he's giving you fits shows there's something going on inside. There's a war going on in him. You see? Many times, you know, we misread people. We don't realize that there's a great battle sometimes going on inside of a person, and so we get mad because they're mad instead of praying for them. You all recall the time when Brother Branham was counseling all day long in the house, and me was trying to feed the kids and had, you know, strangers walking through the house and this, that, and the other, and she was just at her wit's end, and she was just starting to cry. She just started bawling, and Brother Branham was done with the last person, and he walked back in the kitchen. He saw she was bawling, the kids were bawling, and so Brother Branham said, I determined in my heart I was going to change the atmosphere. So I said, I begin to talk to my wife, and I begin to talk to her about this dress that she liked, and that I thought, you know, maybe it's about time we go down and get that little dress. And what had happened was she had just gotten very, very stressed out. And the kids were stressed out. As the kids got more stressed out, she began to burn the food, and, just nothing was going. It's one of those days nothing seemed to go right. And Brother Branham, instead of coming in there and finding out that the whole house was in disarray and getting upset, he recognized that there has to be a change of atmosphere here. First thing he did was says, come on, honey, let's get the kids together. We're going to go out to eat tonight. Get them out of that atmosphere. Clear the atmosphere. remove them from the atmosphere. Got them out in the car, took her down to show her this dress that she'd been looking at, went in to get the dress, took them out to eat, completely taking over, reducing that. And he said, pretty soon, he said, as soon as they got out of that atmosphere, the kids were getting happy, and she was happy, and it just changes. So our attitude, that's the expression, right? That's what we're expressing. We come into an atmosphere that's chaotic. There's an expression happening there. There's a struggle there. What are you going to do about it? I think many times we think that we can overpower it. You don't overpower that. You're not going to overpower Satan. Jesus didn't roll up his sleeves and say, I rebuke thee, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, depart from me, for it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Bring it back to the Word. So, number three, it is the expression of the nature of your soul, and thus it creates an atmosphere around you of who you are. Number four, you are identified with the attitude that you express. You ever meet some people you just love to be around them? Brother Ram said they create an atmosphere. You ever meet people that you just don't want to be around? They create an atmosphere. You ever meet people that are just all the time, no matter whatever the situation, they're always talking about somebody? They create that atmosphere. You meet some people that they're always talking about an illness that they have. All the time, talking about something that's bad, some bad situation. It's an atmosphere they create. You are identified with the attitude you express. We used to have an aunt, my dad, he called her a cronk. Now, a cronk was someone who is a chronic, they have a chronic illness all the time, or they talk about it all the time. Now, that wasn't necessarily that they were ill, but they loved to talk about it. I've met people like that before. You see, you are identified with the attitude that you express. Number five, you are judged. And you will be judged for the attitude that you display to others. And the attitude you display towards God. You will be judged for your attitude. And number six, thus your attitude will not only affect your own self, but your attitude has an effect upon others. The atmosphere you live in not only affects you, but the atmosphere you are living in and you are expressing, it affects others. You know, there's the old expression, if mom's not happy, nobody's happy. And I don't say that, but for the fact that it's an expression. And so, the attitude that you have not only affects yourself, but it affects all others around you. From proving his word, Brother Bram said, but before we pray for the sick, we've got to get the people in that attitude. It's the attitude that always brings the results. It's the attitude that you take towards God. Here's a woman touched his garment. She was healed with a blood issue. A soldier spit in his face and put a crown of thorns on his head and felt no virtue at all. It's your approach. The attitude is what it takes. And that's what it is tonight, dear friends. It takes the attitude. We are and believe that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, but it's your attitude that brings the results. The mechanics is here, and so is the dynamics. If you can just get started, God will do the rest. Now, you might ask, why must we have a right attitude? But remember, it is the attitude, he says, that brings the results. If you do not come with the right attitude, you will never get anything from God except a rebuke and perhaps hardship. And that is the way it is with anyone in life. You all know that raising children, that is one of the first things you teach your children, is to have a right attitude toward others and to have respect for mom and dad and authority. And that is the way it is with God. The old moral says, you can get more bees with honey than with vinegar. And a moral is a point in a story that is there to illustrate a truism. There is no one that I know that would rather have people treat them like dirt than with respect. All of us would rather people respect us than to treat us with disdain. Show respect, and you'll get respect back in return. Show contempt, and you will receive contempt, because we reap what we sow. Look, if someone is in need and they politely ask, I usually do what I can to help them out. But as soon as they get uppity and start to demand, that is when I just close up and won't help them anymore. I've experienced that on the mission field. There were some pastors overseas that we enjoyed helping, but when some of them got uppity and started demanding that we help them and telling us that we owed it to them, it just shut down the compassion that I had inside for them. And it left me feeling empty of compassion for them. And with no more compassion for them, why should I bust myself and work three jobs to support them when I have my own family to support? Now, that is not everyone. But I'm illustrating how an attitude can affect and bring on a result. From the message, When Divine Love is Projected, Brother Branham said, then when you become a son or a daughter of God, your disposition changes. Your attitude changes. Your all. Your look towards life and towards others, it changes. It doesn't mean that you just have joined church. It means that you have been regenerated. You have become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away and God has spoken to you and you have become a new creature. I want this to go way down even into the church members. Then as you would love to be in the presence of Christ and you become a part of Christ, then people love to become in your presence because you become a part of God, a son and daughter of God. Did you ever see people that you just love to be in their presence? There's just something about them that just radiates, that you just love to talk to them. And other people who are nice people, yeah, we don't say this unkindly, but you just can't hardly stand to be around them. It is because of the atmosphere that you create. For you as a son of God are a miniature creator because you are a part of God, and that's the reason you can believe the Bible for anything it says. For the Word of God is God's Word, and you being a part of God will agree with the Word. Now, we've all heard of Achan's wedge. It wasn't that one person disobeyed God and hid something valuable they had taken from the dead people they conquered, but it was in defiance to what God had said. And all Israel suffered because of Achan's attitude towards the Word of God. We are not the only ones living in this planet, and the blessings from God that we receive also affect the people in which we are associated with. You see, if you happen to, and this is a case in a certain country at a certain time, But there were certain brothers that got to the point where when we were giving and helping, they actually demanded. And as I said before, when we begin to lose compassion for the brethren, we lost compassion for more than just the brethren. And it was very interesting that at that time, the funds that we were receiving from the outside dried up as well. And so we weren't able to help any of the brethren at that time. So you see how an attitude can affect not just the one-on-one relationship, but it can affect until it just a little leaven just leavens the whole lump. And Achan, just one man's sin, one man's defiance of God, one man's attitude towards God caused Israel, all of Israel, to be harmed. As I said, we're not the only ones living on the planet. And the blessings that from God that we receive also affect the people in which we are associated with. The fact that God blesses you, you're able to bless others. What if you had an attitude and God couldn't bless you because of your attitude? Think of how many people would suffer because you couldn't bless them because you're not blessed. The atmosphere of blessing that we live under does not just shine over our heads. If it were not for the blessings of God shining down upon the elect, the whole world would be under a curse right now. Think about that. So you see how that how all can be affected by just one. For in Adam, all died. But in Christ, all are made alive. The attitude of one can affect many. In Deuteronomy 28, it speaks of blessings and cursings that we can expect to receive depending on our attitude towards God and His Word. If we receive and respect God and His Word, we are blessed. But if we reject God and His Word, we are cursed. In verse 1 it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently," not just listen or hearken, but "hearken diligently unto the Lord our God, to observe and do all of His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings should come upon thee and overtake thee, and if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Notice we're told that we won't even see them coming until they're upon us and have overtaken us. One day you just wake up and everything seems to be going your way. That is the blessings of God. Now, I don't have time to read it all to you, but all these blessings, but just open your Bible at home and study this chapter and see how the blessings of God in just about every aspect of life are there for you. If only you will hearken diligently, which means to use diligence in paying attention to the Word of God. But the same holds true for those who will not do so. Only the same things that you are blessed in for hearkening become curses for not hearkening. And in verse 15 it says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all of these curses shall come upon thee and shall overtake thee." And you don't even see them taking over. You see, the results you get will depend on what attitude you display towards God and His Word. We wonder why the American economy is going down the tube. We wonder why the American dollar is going down the tube. It's because in 1956, Brother Branham said, "I predict this nation will reject the gospel this year." And she did. And from that time, we see the encroachment of the Civil Liberties Union and all the liberalism in this country take over. And basically, it's becoming such a godless mess that the governor of California just this past week voted for a law that, he signed a law into place that basically the schools in California must teach homosexuality in a positive light. Must. So if a teacher says anything derogatory about homosexuality, he could be fired. He could actually go to prison. It's a law. In the state of Massachusetts, they're getting ready to vote on a law that if you spank your children, you go to jail. The world is going insane. The thought police, if you want to call it that, have taken over. And this nation is losing ground. The dollar soon will become worthless because this nation is so in debt because it turned its back on God. Period. That's the end of it. It's not for the politics. It's simply they turned their back on God. And so God turned His back on them. Now remember, your attitude creates an atmosphere. It creates an environment. From God and His people, Brother Branham said, your attitude towards a gift will determine your healing. From resurrection of Lazarus, he said, "Why, she knew if God was in Elijah, surely He was in His son." Hallelujah. That's right. There, she said, "If I can only get to him, I'll find out the reason my brother died." So she pressed right on through that crowd of unbelievers. And when she got down there to where he was, now look, it seemed like that she had a right to upbraid him, doesn't it? Say, "Why didn't you come to my brother?" Scold him. "Why didn't you come to my brother?" If she would have approached in that attitude, she'd have that miracle would have never happened. It's your attitude of approach. How you approach anything. If you come on like on the gift here, you've got to approach the gift in the right way. You've got to approach God in the right way. You can't come and say, "Now, Lord, looky here. I've been a pretty good fella, and get some hand-me-downs. But I'll tell you, I want you to take me tonight and say, no, no, God don't take it that like that. You come God's provided way or you don't come at all. That's right, and that's true. From the Message wedding supper, Brother Branham said, God wants a church that he can lay his hands on. I don't care how little it is, two or three gathered in my name, I'll be there in their midst. Not just speak it. Then you say, well, we gather in his name. Speaking in the name of Jesus by word is not what he meant. So much as it is the attitude that you're gathered in, the environment of the name of Jesus. When you gather in my name, then ask what you will. It's the motive that you come in, the attitude. It's an attitude instead of so much of a calling a name. Sinners call the name on the street. They curse it and everything else. But it's the environment that you're in, the attitude that you come in, coming in the name of Jesus. That puts a whole different perspective on it. Look at the Roman centurion and the attitude that he displayed toward Christ. He sent his servant to come to Jesus and explained that he would have come himself, but he felt unworthy to enter his presence. He probably felt that he, being a man of war and having killed, that since he had some blood on his hands, and he was not worthy to come into the presence of the Son of God. And feeling unworthy, his attitude expressed that sense of unworthiness, and so his approach to Christ was such that he knew authority. And he said that Jesus only had to speak and those devils that were afflicting his servant would have to obey and leave that servant. And Jesus remarked how great that Roman centurion's faith was, and because of that, he would receive what he had asked for. Brother Branham said in the sermon, we would see Jesus. He said, and just think, like a little Santa Maria up around the lake coast would be one of the, had this revival. Now, it's not only probable, but it's possible that it could happen, and it depends on the attitude that we take. Now, God always sends his gifts and things into generations, into the churches, and whatever attitude the people take, that's the results of what they get. We know that. God doesn't push himself on anyone. You have to want him. And in his sermon, God in Simplicity, he said, when a minister walks into the congregation of people praying in the anointing of the Spirit, you are bound to hear from heaven. That's just all. There's no way to keep from it. But if you walk into confusion, then you're so confused and the Spirit's grieved. So whether you get anything out of service doesn't depend on me. It depends on you, the attitude you come, the atmosphere you bring with you, the expectation that you have. So you see the importance of our attitude and the atmosphere that it creates. As I mentioned before, we set an atmosphere by the attitude we express by our body language and the tone of our voice and the way that we look and the way we posture our body. Body language means something to people and it means something to God. It expresses our attitude. It is an expression of the true nature of our soul. You know, you can even take courses in negotiation that study body language. I have several books on it. It's called Meta Talk. And another one's called Body Language. Did you know that the Paris Peace Talks, it took over a year, I think it was a year and a half, to determine the shape of the table for those talks? And it came up as a round table. Because they wanted nobody at the head. When Khrushchev took off his shoe and struck the table, it was body language. Showing the attitude that they had. From proving his word, Brother Branham said, before we pray for the sick, we've got to get the people in that attitude. It's the attitude that always brings the results. It's the attitude that you take towards God. Here's a woman touched his garment. She was healed with a blood issue. A soldier spit in his face and put a crown of thorns on his head and felt no virtue. It's your approach. The attitude is what it takes, and that's what it is tonight, dear friends. It takes the attitude. We are and believe that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, but it's your attitude that brings the results. Now, what does he mean if you can just get started? He says, if you can just get started, God will do the rest. But what does it mean if you can just get started? I believe what he's saying here is not that you can produce anything, but if you do the right thing and say the right thing, it will bring the right results. You see, God will do it for you if your attitude is right. And after all, God is sovereign, and he doesn't have to do anything for anyone. But if you go to him with the right attitude, then ask what you will, and it will be given, because Jesus promised that. In John 15 and 5, he said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. From God and his people, Brother Bram said, and then as I bring Christ to you, he will be on your hands. And you'll have to answer for what attitude you took towards it. And if you've turned it down, or if you've accepted it, God will have you to answer for your attitude of this meeting. So you must realize it's a very sacred thing. And from God revealing himself to his people, Brother Brown said, now many times, now these may seem strange, everybody be real reverent. You can get the person. Now just what I was trying to do to the woman was to get her in the right mental attitude that she would have to be prayed for. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. Do you believe that? The word is a seed, is that right? That a sower sowed in the ground. And every seed will bring forth of his kind. And if you need salvation, the seed's here. If you need healing, here's the seed in the word. The word of God is a seed. Put it in your heart. Don't dig it up every morning to see if it's sprouted. Put it in there and leave it there. It's God's business to bring forth the harvest. You just leave it there. Water it by faith and pray and praise every day, thanking God for it. And all right. And not only do you receive what you expect, but you will also be judged for your attitude. It is the attitude that expresses what we are, and that you will be judged for. And you will take the attitude with you, because your attitude is an expression of your own character. It is an expression in your body of the nature of your inner man. And for that, you will be judged. From Jesus keeps all of his appointments, Brother Branham said, would you let Jesus sit in this day? You say, well, if I'd been back there, I'd have seen him like that. I would have had done that. Well, what about it right now? Your own present attitude identifies what you'd have done then. See, the attitude that you take now, you feel like that you're well enough? All right, that's between you and God. I'm not the judge. I'm just responsible for the word, see? He's here in the meeting. They come out of the churches too. But they're going in to settle it right now. That's all of it. They're ready. Why do you want to live a halfway Christian life for God? Either be for God or against him. So the world will know your colors and know where you stand. Now, how many remember the story of the Pharisee that invited Jesus to eat in his home? And yet, look at the way that they treated Jesus. They did not even welcome him by the customary way of washing his feet. And yet a prostitute came in, and her action showed her attitude towards Christ was so far superior than that of the Pharisee, and notice the results that she received. In Luke 7, verse 30, it says, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the man of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like they're like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned to you and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber and a friend of the publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears. And she did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom was forgiven the most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears, and she wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Think about that. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Those who walk around in legalism, those who watch every little step, those who have little to ask forgiveness for, are the ones who love the least. That's what he said. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. From Jesus keeps all of his appointments. Brother Bram said, The people today take the same attitude as that Pharisee took. The same kind of attitude. Let him sit after inviting him, yet they don't want him. They just do it like for manners, you know. We've done to him today just like they did then. Instead of washing him and washing the reproach away, instead of trying to stand up and saying, You're mistaken, it's the word of God made manifest. It's what he promised. He said he'd pour out his spirit in the last days. We're living in the last days. Instead of that, we just kind of sit back like they did, and we're afraid to take a stand. Now, another reason why we must consider the attitude we have towards God and to His Word is because our attitude identifies just where we're standing. From spiritual amnesia, Brother Bram said, so we find out when this spiritual amnesia gets a hold of the people, then they're in a bad condition. Now, we find the same now. Now, I want to, you must be identified. Somewhere you must show, your life shows tonight, where you are identified. You are identified either in Christ or out of Christ. You are not halfway. There's not such a thing as a drunk sober man. There's no black-white bird. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're either a saint or you're a sinner, one or the other. And your spiritual attitude towards God's Word identifies you exactly where you're standing. God's Word vindicated and proved that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is just the same as it ever was on the day of Pentecost or any other day. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your attitude towards that identifies whether you have spiritual amnesia or not. That's right. No matter whether you're a deacon or even you're a preacher, it doesn't make any difference. They get it too. So we find out it's contagious and it hits the whole thing. And looking back at our attitude, number one, our attitude will produce a result. Depending on the attitude we display. So maybe we should ask, what are the results that our attitude is producing? Number two, our attitude does not create an atmosphere, but rather expresses the atmosphere that we're living in. Is there contention all the time? Fussing? Debate? Do you feel you're more perfect than the other person? If you can say, well, I didn't do this, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do this, how much love do you have? Our attitude, number three, is the expression of the nature of our soul. And thus it creates an atmosphere around us of who we are. Do some of the things that you fuss about, do they really make a difference? Does it really matter? Honestly? Or is it just that you want your way? If it can't find it here, let it alone. It doesn't make any difference. God made blue flowers and red flowers, green flowers and white flowers, orange flowers and yellow flowers. And God made them all. God made some people fat. He made some people skinny. He made some people with very beautiful long hair, and he made some people with none. Is it that important? We have a 21st century expression, lighten up. Well, let's look at it biblically, lighten up. In other words, you either have the word on it or you don't. If you don't have the word on it, let it go. Just let it go. Number four, we are identified with the attitude we express. Number five, thus we are judged and will be judged for the attitude we display to others and the attitude we display towards God. And six, thus our attitude will not only affect our own self, but it also affects everyone else around us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you, Father, to help us to be more studious in our life, to think of how and our words will be received before we speak those words, to think if those words that we're going to say are necessary or not. Is it important that everyone knows how we feel about something, or is it not? Is it going to change the person's mind, or is it just going to cause a fight? Does it really matter in the long run whether the person does whatever it is that we would like them to do the way we want them to do it? Is it going to change their eternal destination? Or is it just going to make us happy because we got our way? And if our motive is only self-centered, that we want to do things our way, then Father, we ask that you'd forgive us. And may we repent of such an attitude. And may our attitude be the attitude of Christ. For may the mind that was in Christ, the attitude that was in Christ, be in us. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.
Number 110. Change my heart, O God.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Number 225, we're standing on holy ground.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. Standing in His presence on holy ground.
Amen. And number 22 in closing. In my life, Lord, be glorified.
In my Lord, be glorified.